This world needs a hero.
We agree.
Is that all the power you've got? It won't be enough to win you this fight.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast, where we aim to provide our unique insights on your favorite movies. And today, we are talking about Dragon Ball Super Super Hero.
That's right, Andrew. We're going into the world of anime, where we decided to review this very weird titled movie, Dragon Ball Super : Super Hero. This movie is about Piccolo and Gohan fighting bad guys. Andrew, another one that we saw together. We checked this one out. Decently packed theater, not really. But, you know, I noticed a lot of millennial-aged kids at the movie. Well, I shouldn't say kids. They're adults now. But this is definitely one that drew out the nostalgia crowd after the much-beloved Super Broly. Andrew, did you like this film?
I liked the film. Actually, it was not so bad. And it's funny that you brought up about the semi-packed theater. I saw like four people total in our theater.
I was counting the people in the lobby who were wearing Dragon Ball Z shirts.
Okay, and maybe they went to another theater because ours was kind of dead.
It was dead. There was like no one there.
But it was still pretty cool. I mean, I liked it. I mean, this is like the first time we did like an anime movie on this show. Which, I mean, if we want, we could talk about Demon Slayer, Mugen Train. We could do so many other things. But I think, compared to Broly, this one is better. And I don't know what people are going to think about it. I know I've asked a couple friends, and they disagree with me. But I personally think this movie definitely overcomes its predecessor. What do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting to talk about. I'm not big on the Dragon Ball universe. Little backstory here. I didn't have cable growing up, but I remember I was at my friend's house as a kid. No internet. You couldn't just watch what you wanted to watch. You had to watch what was on TV. And you know what was on TV? It was like Arthur and Dragon Tales and Caillou. That's what I got to watch growing up. But looking at, you know, what other people were saying about this, you know, as growing up, I remember I was at my friend's house. He had it on, and I watched like two episodes. I was hooked. It was like one or two episodes. Like, wow, this is great stuff. And I want to talk for a second about just anime versus, you know, American cartoon shows. You know, we had like Bugs Bunny and, you know, that Pinky and the Brain and stuff. Don't get me wrong. Really good shows. But my favorite one growing up was the one on, on Warner Brothers channels. It was like Yu-Gi-Oh! The world of anime is just so attractive, in my opinion. It's like a whole different universe. But for us, generally speaking, like in America, it was either a superhero thing or some really like cartoony kiddish thing. There was nothing like anime. So I totally understand why Dragon Ball Z is as popular as it is. So I watched Dragon Ball Super Broly the night before, and yeah, I don't know much about these characters, but I know their names, and I'm like, yeah, this is people probably love the Broly film because it's, you know, it's Goku and Vegeta, and they're fighting Broly, and it's just, once it gets into the film, it's just this nonstop action. So I can tell why people love that film, but to me, there's just a bit of a lack of a story, wherein Superhero had much more of a story, a much more interesting plot. Were the fights as good? Not really, but I was more engaged in the film.
Yeah, I think my interest for Dragon Ball definitely started as, you know, a kid. I think my brother and I, we were like big fans of the show, but we weren't like religious viewers. But I think everyone recognizes that signature style or that signature ending to an episode of like, will our heroes survive? Mm-hmm. You know, tune in next week. Like, we all know that. And I think that stems from Dragon Ball, which is pretty iconic. And I kind of stopped watching as a kid. And it wasn't until I saw Broly, only because my brother got me hyped up to see it. And even when you and I, Santi, were at Comic-Con, I think 2017, we saw that giant banner on one of the buildings of like advertising for the Broly movie. So, it goes back a while. And then after I saw the Broly movie, I thought it was amazing. The fight scenes were incredible. More than anything, then we got our fan service, like we'll talk about later. But more than anything, it was after that I got into watching the show Dragon Ball Super, and I think mm-hmm. that was like an incredible anime to get into with the Tournament of Power, which again we'll probably get into later. But I think with very minimal knowledge that I have, I still did a ton of outside research back in the day. So just like you, I know the characters. I pretty much know what is what. And coming into this movie, I didn't feel completely lost. So I feel like if you're not a diehard fan, you will still get an idea of what's going on. Like, is that what you kind of felt like you knew?
I was mentioning earlier, like, we've both watched anime. I've watched quite a few anime myself, and I have some favorite ones as well. Just, you know, never got into Dragon Ball as a kid, so I just never followed up as an adult. But my first full, like, Dragon Ball experience was watching Broly. And it covers the backstory. I'm like, oh, this is a really intriguing world. I thought the world building in general is just really good. It's a cool world. You want to, you know, see what's going on with these guys, you know, as they're fighting and scheming and all that. I didn't feel lost during Broly, and I didn't feel lost during Superhero. Yeah, there's some references, and you might not know who's who, but actually, like, some of the dialogue in both films is presented in a way so someone who's fairly newish can get a general idea about what's going on, and it gets them really intrigued, and maybe they want to go even further. So I think kids who go watch this film, you know, younger people, they might be like, oh, okay, maybe I can go online and watch, you know, all of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z and really catch up with this universe.
You got to be careful, though. I know there's a lot of Dragon Ball series that are not canon. I think, like, for instance, Dragon Ball GT, and I don't want to say 100%, maybe I think Dragon Ball Kai are also not canon. So you got to be careful with what you go watch.
I did do some research. So Kai is basically Dragon Ball Z, but shorter. They cut a lot of the filler out. I guess it's closer to the manga. They redid some of the animation, updated some of the voice acting. So that's Dragon Ball Kai. So I guess either that or Z is basically the same storyline. I think the hardcore Dragon Ball fans are always saying that the most underappreciated, you know, arc or whatever is the original Dragon Ball. Because I think most kids, most, you know, who are adults now, everyone talks about Dragon Ball Z, you know what I mean? But they never talk about Dragon Ball where Goku is a child. A lot of people feel like that's
the baby,
more,
yeah.
Yeah, like they feel like that's more the heart of the series, the charm, the comedy, and all that. And Super Broly was a really serious film. This one actually has a lot of good comedy in it, I thought. And I think we should get into spoilers because I'm sure there's a lot of people who have been anticipating this film from a long time and they don't want to hear any of the little, I don't know, cameos and teases and all that sort of thing. So, spoiler warning for all the folks. All
right, we'll dive into the spoiler territory. Yeah, it's a good time for that.
Yeah, but like I was mentioning, this movie's, you know, it's pretty lighthearted. And I think that helps when you're a new fan trying to watch this stuff.
I think, I feel like, yes, you're 100% right. I'm not going to disagree with you there. But I feel like they should have made this movie first, then Broly. I think if this one came out back in, 2018 is when Broly came out? If they flipped the releases, I think it would have made much more sense to fans. Like, give a lot of people a nice introduction and then jump into, like, just nonstop action movie like Broly was.
Yeah, Broly is such a, even though I have, like, not that much knowledge, it's such, you could just tell it's such a fan service-y film. This is just something that people, because apparently there's some controversy with Broly the character. Sometimes he's canon, sometimes he's not been canon. And,
yeah, that's, you know, huge.
Yeah, and the screenplay for both these films was written by the original creator, obviously Akira Toriyama. And I think people just wanted to see, you know, these three beloved characters just beat the shit out of each other. And that's what they got from Broly. So I totally agree with you that someone newer to the, you know, franchise would be like, you know, what the heck is going on? I don't know any of these guys. Why do I care so much about this fight? Wherein for some of the older fans, it'd be a lot more engaging. But let's be honest, you know, if you're jumping into the series with just Broly, it's not necessarily designed for you. So I can't really criticize it on that part. None of my criticisms towards either films, specifically Superhero, because that's what we're talking about, is about me being lost at any point. That's not why my criticisms are. But Andrew, I want to talk a little bit more about what you really liked from this movie. The animation was a bit different from Broly. It was more 3D-ish. I think it took us some while to get used to.
Yeah, it was definitely difficult on the eyes for a second because for some reason, I don't know, I feel like with Broly, for example, the animation there, I don't know how much else to describe it except it felt perfectly 2D and at times a little unfinished, but I think that was done on purpose to give a nice aesthetic to it, and I loved it. Like, sometimes there'd be, like, cuts in, like, the fight scenes where, you know, the animation looks like it wasn't, you know, fully done, but, like, it looks so good. And then you're right, this one, Superhero, super 3D, super polished. Yeah. I feel like the movements were way like too fluid. So yeah. that took a minute for me to get used to. But one thing I really liked about this movie in general is that we got a flicker of where, you know, Goku and Vegeta are. And then we got to focus on, you know, the real characters, the real main characters. I'm so glad we got a lot of Piccolo time.
He's like the main character.
Yes, and I love that. I feel like Piccolo is like just one of those underrated characters. He has so much power, so much knowledge, so much potential, and they finally used it here. And I like seeing Gohan and his life that he's going through, because for those of you who know the series, during the Dragon Ball Super anime, the TV show, during the Tournament of Power, Gohan was kind of useless, and the only thing he did that was good was he sacrificed himself, you know, for one of the enemies. So, man, like Gohan, his peak character arc was when he defeated Cell during the Cell games, and that was like the best Gohan ever got since then. And then Tournament of Power, he showed how useless he was. So to see his redemption here in Superhero was super pleasing to see, because man, did he deserve justice, and he got it here.
Yeah, is Piccolo's green? I've noticed. Is that have anything to do with a pickle, or is that just a coincidence?
So that's a huge running thing, and I've never bothered to Google it because I love the mystery of it. But there's a huge joke that every character in Dragon Ball universe is named after a vegetable. So you got really? Vegeta is vegetable.
I had no idea.
Piccolo is a pickle. Yeah, and then there's a character named Kale. And then there's I think something from a cauliflower, but yeah. So a lot of characters in this show is from vegetables.
Wow, I genuinely had no idea. But Andrew, you're talking about the art style. Yeah, I mean Broly was like a TV show episode, but a really good one. Like, and I think sometimes people just kind of love that originality to it. But I think when it does this 3D sort of like cel-shaded style, it reminded me a lot of Mob Psycho 100's kind of art form, like the way the characters look, but it adds a little bit more to it. It adds a little bit more to the film, and I think it allows them to do a little bit, you know, more fluidity with the camera movements. This is like a animated film, but it was really well directed. There's some interesting shots in there. You can kind of sense the budget being poured into that. There's one interesting one, like right in the beginning with the Red Ribbon Army. They're in the car. Dr. Hito, and you know, they're just talking about what they want to do, and it's not an important scene, but you have them in the background having their scheming discussion. Then you have the driver, he's looking through like the window, and you can see the slow driver in front of him, who ends up later being a teacher. But then he shows his frustration. It's like you had so much going on in one shot, which, a lot of these anime movies, it could just be like back and forth, just this character, that character talking, but it felt like a movie to me. And I think that's what made me enjoy it so much.
What did you think about how the characters were introduced? Do you think it felt fluid, or do you think it was like forced down your throat, like rushed?
I don't think it was rushed. I don't know what the history is with some of the Red Robin Army people, but you know, they were really trying to get the audience to learn early in the film. When Piccolo's talking to the little kid in the beginning, I don't know, like, is Piccolo have like brain damage or just doesn't remember anything? Because she's like, what about Goku? Huh? Goku? Oh, right, your grandpa. It might have been the opposite. She's like, grandpa. She's like, huh? Your grandpa?
Yeah, she's like, grandpa. I think to me, that was kind of a way of him saying, like, he's still in disbelief that Goku's related to, like, Gohan.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, like, the power difference. That was kind of like my interpretation of like a little tongue-in-cheek thing of like, oh, that's right,
but also intended to kind of catch up people who might be new. It's like, oh yeah, like Goku grandpa, Gohan father, help make those connections and all of that. But yeah, I didn't think it was rushed. I think there's limited time with animated films where you can keep an audience's attention, and I was able to get enough backstory to be able to kind of get what was going on.
And they were mentioning one character that you kept, like, wondering about, Hercule, Mr. Satan.
Yes, like, who is this guy? Is he the great-grandpa? What, the granddaddy? What is this guy doing?
I forgot to do my research on him, but, like, all I remember is him from the Cell games with, like, the early anime when he was, like, fighting Perfect Cell. And he, like, was super scared to fight, and he was always, like, a coward. So I remember the guy in general, Hercule, He like portrayed himself to be like this giant like savior or superhero to the people. He's a regular dude. He's a regular human. He has like no powers. He's just super strong apparently.
Really? Wow.
So when he tried to compete in the Cell Games and he got like his you know, he got beat really bad, that kind of like made everyone realize, oh, this guy is not as super as, you know, he claims to be. So there's a lot of controversy around, you know, his character, but I don't know too much. I hope someone who's listening can inform us more about that guy. But other than that, it was funny that you kept wondering about it.
Yeah, because I kept mentioning him and like, saying he's related to Goku and Gohan. I just kind of want to see what that kind of connection was. Andrew, I wanted to ask you, was this movie, you know, too goofy for you compared to Broly? Which it seems like, let's put it simply, the super fans seem to, they like this film, but they loved Broly a lot more. Do you think it's because that one's a lot more serious in nature and that this one tries to be a little bit too lighthearted? Because I thought the comedy at a comedy was great.
Yeah, it's exactly what you mentioned at the beginning. It was all fan service. Like you mentioned, before, Broly was never canon. So making him actually canon for the show now brought in a ton of excitement. So when people were watching Broly, yeah, like you know you're going to see some kick-ass action. We got to finally see Gogeta, who's also now officially canon.
Who the hell is Gogeta? I don't know who Gogeta is.
Gogeta is when Goku and Vegeta fuse to take Broly down.
Oh, yeah. I remember that scene. Yeah, Before that,
Gogeta was never canon. And now he wasn't. Yeah. So it was huge, this whole movie.
People love that shit.
I think the studio knew, like, we got to give them, you know, like, the ultimate, you know, fight sequence, which felt incredible when it was, like, Gogeta versus Broly. And when you look at it, it's only 6 minutes of them fighting, which is, I think, fantastic for how much they, you know, packed in. But with Superhero, it was definitely more of a, I think it was more of, like, getting us to relate to the characters, giving us more empathy for the characters, more understanding of, like, yeah, Gohan is this all-powerful person, but he has also a life, so we got to respect that. And a researcher of bugs.
Is the glasses canon? Are those canon?
He needs glasses to see.
Okay, that's basically, like, how the author probably was like, I want to draw him as this Goku's son, but how do I make them different? I know. I'll give him glasses.
I don't know why he needs them, but yeah.
Because people won't be able to tell the difference. But I like that Piccolo asked, like, hey, when you go Super Saiyan, like, do you still need them? Do you get 20/20 vision? You know, what's going on there?
Those are some indestructible glasses too. When they were fighting Gohan and the Gammas, like, dang, those glasses held on good. Like, he must got them. Like,
well, did he find them in the end? I think he was like looking for them. They're like digging in the holes or something.
I think one last thing that I would say that I really liked was that we got to see Gohan's like next big form, that the creator finally calls Gohan Beast, and he confirms that he is now stronger than Goku's ultimate form. So for those of you who do know, and for those of you who don't, during the Tournament of Power, Dragon Ball Super Series, Goku reached his ultimate form, which was Ultra Instinct. And in Ultra Instinct, he gains like this, you know, incredible gray hair. He's glowy. Everything around him is like silver, and the power is insane. And for the moment, everyone knew that that was like the strongest form in the entire universe. Like nothing could beat that. And now we have Gohan Beast, which surpasses Ultra Instinct, which is incredible. So seeing Gohan pick up Special Beam Cannon, which was Piccolo's signature move in like the anime, and everyone as a kid knew what Special Beam Cannon was. So to see all that come together was, I don't know, it brought out some childhood in me, and I think it was fantastic. I really love how they did that.
Well, I'm glad you nerds enjoyed that shit, because it meant
absolutely. Hey, come on, man. It's all we have left.
I know. What I really like is this sort of love that, you know, Dragon Ball fans have with the movies and the shows, even as they're, you know, getting older, moving on sort of with their lives. There's just something just brings them back to this universe. And I'm not going to lie, I'm envious. I'm actually quite jealous. Do I have that with, you know, Star Wars and stuff? Yeah, but who the fuck doesn't have that with Star Wars? I really wish I'm quite jealous of the connection that the folks have with Dragon Ball Z. You know, Andrew, I really like the story in this. quite a bit. I think it's interesting because of the way it connects. Kind of reminded me of the Avengers conundrums. Like, Iron Man's all like, look, we got to defend Earth from the aliens. We got to come up with this stuff. Captain America's like, nah, we can do it. And it felt the same thing in here. And it could have been potentially even more interesting where they're like, we got to make our own superheroes to defend Earth. We don't know who all these aliens are. They're going to be coming here and, I don't know, causing a lot of havoc. And Gamma 1 and Gamma 2 could have been really boring characters. They could have just been like, you know, I'll talk about their goofiness in a bit. They could have just come in and they could have just, you know, done their stuff, gone, died, whatever, moved on. But they ended up being like, you know, I know they're androids, but really smart. And they have like a change of heart. They realize like, hey, you know, we're not on the good side here. And then it was quite heartbreaking to see. I don't remember which one. I think it was Gamma 1 or Gamma 2 die in the end. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, they could have been really boring characters. And as far as I'm aware, they're new to the Dragon Ball world. They haven't been here before.
As far as I know, yeah. Same.
Yeah.
I
think they did a great job with the character development in a really short runtime. I was really impressed by that.
And the one thing that was pretty cool that you mentioned at the end of the show was like, or at the end of the movie, you said that someone died. And like usually in these kind of movies, no one really does.
I watched a recap video of Dragon Ball, like Dragon Ball Z online, and it was literally the whole time, it was like, they died. Then they used the Dragon Balls, and they all came back to life.
Yeah.
I asked you in the movie, like, where's Krillin? He hadn't showed up yet. And then you're like, oh, he's dead. He shows up like 5 minutes later. I'm like, nothing of this. It's just, I don't know. It's just funny.
It's funny that, yeah, no one really dies. I remember I saw a recap. Yeah, I think you and I probably saw the same recap video about, like, Goku dies and he goes to the afterlife and they bring him back and he dies again. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah. But
I think it was Gamma, yeah. Gamma 2. He was like, you know, at the end he turns to dust. He's like, Dr. Hito, I don't feel so good. It just just kind of disappears. I love it. I love it.
I wonder if that was, like, an actual reference to the Avengers, you think? You think he did it on purpose?
The dust thing?
Could yeah,
be. That, I mean, it has to write this.
I think nowadays, like in filmmaking, I feel like a lot of directors are starting to like have less original ideas, and I think they use, oh, we're paying homage to a past film as like a cop out of like, oh, I don't know how to do this better, yeah, so I'm gonna copy what they did, and then I'm gonna just call it an homage. Yeah, I think they're starting to cop out a lot nowadays.
Yeah, even aside from like, you know, paying homage. Homage, I don't know how the hell to say that word. I think it's like the fifth time it's come up on the podcast, by the way. Half the time I say homage, half the time I say homage. I think it's homage. Homage. You don't pronounce it. It's like O, like O-H. Maj.
We need to bring up the phonics. We need like the Rosetta Stone for English.
Yeah, we got to have that by our side along with my thesaurus, which I used to describe our films early. Is it just like a natural thing? Where you watch so many movies and shows around you that subconsciously you're just getting influence from them and you're just kind of like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Like, I remember that kind of idea. And at some point, we're going to run out of some form of originality with some things, you know? And they're just kind of like, oh, let's just do that. So it's not always going to be like paying respects to something else. It's just like they just remember it. Like, oh, let's make it simple.
Yeah, and to me that kind of like ties into a quick little sidebar or side or tangent. It kind of ties in like how music is. You know, a lot of music, they kind of do samples from older songs and they, you know, do their own version of it. But it's kind of like, I know you're doing like this out of like either bringing awareness to older music or you want to like introduce something to the new to the people that, you know, you grew up on. But at the same time, it's like, where did you draw the line of like being straight up lazy and like just taking like a beat? Or like in this case in movies, like a scene or a tactic or a style, like where do you draw the line of laziness?
Yeah. Well, let's be fair. He didn't actually say Dr. Hito, I don't feel so good. He just kind of died.
That's true.
It disappeared. Yeah. Let's pay some respect.
But he was a robot, right? The Gammas. So how does a robot turn to dust? You know, like at some point you got to realize or think like maybe he did like just copy. You know.
But maybe the robot is made out of like what is it, like biodegradable, like. Option.
Environmentally friendly.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to have like a styrofoam robot. You gotta do something biodegradable, like when the body shuts down, the whole thing just disappears. Let's give a hand of applause to Akira Toriyama writing this film. 67 years old, still writing these screenplays. I mean, to see him still involved in his universe, I was actually surprised. I was assuming like it's been long handed off and he's not even involved anymore. He's just getting those royalty checks.
Dude, man, like, what do you think is gonna be the impact? Like, the day that he passes, man. Like,
whoa, I thought you were gonna say the day. Let's just talk about the day he retires, Andrew. How about that?
Okay, you're right. I should do that. How do you feel? Like, do you think he will retire?
I think he'll just keep doing it as long as it's stress free and he enjoys it. That's what it really comes down to. Togashi just came back from Hunter x Hunter to try to finish writing the manga, and he has a lot of back pain and stuff like that. So if Toriyama's enjoying writing Dragon Ball, he'll keep doing it. If it starts to become stressful and really difficult for him, I imagine he'll stop.
I mean, doesn't like a oh my god, I'm gonna butcher the name. I feel so bad already. The Studio Ghibli. Oh god, you're making me just do this on purpose, aren't you?
Hayao Miyazaki.
Miyazaki. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he keeps coming in and out of retirement over and over again to bring us bangers after bangers, dude. It's like, you think Toriyama's gonna do the same thing?
I think he could. Look, with the success of these last two films, Broly made $125 million worldwide. We just posted our box office Mondays. Today, the day that we're recording, the superhero won the box office. $21 million. First movie since Pikachu Mewtwo. What the hell is it called? Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back, which I saw in theaters. By the way, I got my little Mew holographic card. That the first animated, to be first on the box office weekend domestically. I mean, that's incredibly impressive. I can see.
And I just want to say.
Yeah.
What?
I would love to see him keep going with this and make this sort of like this movie thing like consistent, where the story's following, where I don't really have to tune into the TV show and I can kind of just check the Dragon Ball movies, you know, once every 3-4 years and get an idea about what's going on.
One thing I want to say is I advocated heavily to review this movie for this week's podcast. Santi wanted something else.
That's not true. That's fake news.
No, you don't even start with me. I was like, my Latino brethren are religious about Dragon Ball. I got to do them a service because, I mean, we both know, like, Dragon Ball is huge in Latin America. It's insane how much love that they give to Toei Animation?
Yes.
Yeah, and I remember when the final episode of the Tournament of Power for Dragon Ball Super Series was going to be aired, they went out to like their town squares or plazas, even stadiums, to celebrate the 130th episode, and they wanted to stream it. But it's so sad because this reminds me a lot of like how Smash Brothers and Nintendo, like how they desperately hate, you know, like gaming competitions.
Yeah.
And they will not like support it or do anything like that. But like same with Toei, they sent out at that time that the episode was gonna be aired, they sent out like a cease and desist order to like anybody saying do not illegally stream our final episode for any public watch party, which was like super heartbreaking to like the fans because they're like, hey, we're here for you and why are you doing this to us?
Yeah, HBO does the same thing with Game of Thrones. You gotta get a license to play that like at a local bar. Or something.
Yeah, but that's Game of Thrones. I mean, it's not Game of Thrones is not like comparable to like
you gotta pay the. Listen, if you don't, gotta if you pay stream the stuff toll. Illegally, the animators will not get paid.
They already got paid. I'm pretty sure they already signed a contract. But it was just sad seeing how like the Embassy of Japan, like they sent a note to like the Mexican governor, and that's apparently like the governor like just laughed it off. They say like, "What the like? Why are you doing this?" And they let it happen. The governor of Mexico like just let it happen.
Yeah, what are they gonna do? What are they gonna do? Like close their embassy in Mexico?
Yeah,
so we're shutting down the Japan embassy in Mexico because you guys did not air. What is it? Dragon Ball tournament?
Super.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, like it's a bit much to go down the route of contacting the other people's government. That's you know.
You actually sent me this. How like Hispanics are carrying anime? You sent me a link on Twitter.
About 30% of box office numbers, yeah, in North America. But, well, depending on the movie, like Mugen Train. Oh, yeah. What is it called? Demon Slayer.
Mugen Train. Yeah.
Mugen
yeah.
Train. movies train. Like yeah.
The Polar Express. Demon Slayer.
Polar Express. I think you might even get 0.01% Latino people on the Polar Express. But yeah, it was about 30-37% of watchers of anime films in North America for the last several ones that have been released were Latin American. Is that the right thing to say, Andrew?
Hold on a second.
Is Latin American South American, or is that like Mexico?
So, it's funny. I mean, now we're keeping this in. Even this part here, we're keeping it in. Yeah, Latin America, South America. I mean, South America, you used to, you know, talk about the areas, but Latin Americans, you kind of encompass all of South America. You see the umbrella term right there? Yeah.
So what did I say incorrectly? Because Latin America is correct. South America, yes. Okay, there's no correlation with Latin America, South America.
You said nothing incorrectly. You're good. Don't worry.
That's perfect.
You're good. But what I loved about the link that you sent me is that how it showed that Hispanic audiences beat Asian audiences. Surprisingly, we beat everyone. We Caucasian, we beat Black. Yeah. And I don't know. I think it does show a lot of how we grew up as Hispanics. It's like we grew up on this stuff. You know, Saturday morning cartoons. Our parents are working. Our parents are cleaning the house. We're sitting in front of the TV because we don't want to be a bother. We don't want to get in the way of them doing their duties.
You don't want to help?
We can't help because we'll just get yelled at. You know, like how your dad always tells you to hold the flashlight under the hood of the car, but if you move
it... You never do it right.
Exactly. So we might as well just stay away. And we just grew up on this stuff. And I don't know. I think it's really heartwarming to see, like, there's something about our community that just... gets together when it comes to anime. But I know we talked about a lot of good things that we love, and well deserving too, because, you know, superhero,
we enjoyed this
good
film
movie.
We both liked it. Yeah,
but what were a couple things you didn't like though?
Well, it's an interesting thing you're asking, because Dragon Ball, I can tell, is a very serious thing. Dragon Ball Z, you know, everyone's very serious about the fights. It's just people punching people, and that's what they want to see. That's what gets all the people going and excited and all that. But isn't the whole point of Dragon Ball, it's called Dragon Ball. You got to collect the Dragon Balls, you get this dragon, you make a wish. Isn't that the whole point of the show? It's the name of the show. So
yes,
when you get the Dragon Ball, it's like, oh, where are they? Oh, we already have them all. Let's do this. You get three wishes. It's like, make me stronger. And then the lady's name, she gets like a butt enhancement, and then she extends her eyelashes over the wrinkles. I get it. It's funny. It's not supposed to be that serious. But doesn't it kind of make the show seem dumb in hindsight? Which I'm okay with. But it's, you know, wasn't like back in the day when they were getting the Dragon Balls, wasn't that like a really big deal when they got the first time they got to make a wish?
Yeah, I think over time we've moved past the importance of the Dragon Balls. I think now it's more of like, you know, how high can they increase their power levels? Because you're right. It is kind of sucky how they dwindle down the importance of them.
Yeah.
You've seen Loki, right? The Marvel show, Loki. It reminds me of that. Of like in how in Loki, when he's in the TVA and he opens a drawer full of Infinity Stones, and it kind of, you know, makes the whole thing like absolutely pointless. So yes, to me it's like that, how they render down like the importance of the entire series or the entire show to nothing. To like making your eyelashes longer. Like, really? Like, you're really gonna do that to...
Especially over wrinkles. Wouldn't you want to get rid of your wrinkles over your eye? You could always wear eyelash extensions. Why would you... I feel like the wrinkles were an obvious pick there.
But not to mention, dude, like, come on. Like, some of the shots with Bulma...
Oh, yeah. We both looked at each other. We're like, wow. Like it was subtle, I think, like, 10 minutes before that scene. You know? But the issue is, when it cut back to that scene, that was the first shot when it cut back to it. And it wasn't, like, there in the corner. It was taking up 95% of the screen. And it's interesting. considering what the mass media gets mad at when it comes to things they see in film, I always say it's really interesting when something like this that probably isn't watched by those same reporters or journalists, it just goes completely under the radar. Because this is the highest grossing film this weekend. If it was live action or maybe an American-made cartoon, I think a scene like that gets more attention from the media. People will be like, wow, like this scene is, you know, inappropriate for this movie or anything like that.
One thing I want to bring up about that is interesting, because comedian Bill Burr said something interesting about animation in general. So comedian Bill Burr has an animation show on Netflix called FS for Family. And in that show, it's a quick little thing. It's about like his family or him growing up. And it shows a lot about his dad beating him and his brother as kids. Like, and he said in an interview saying that there's an incredible amount of things you can get away with as long as they're animated. If it's real, if it's real life, yeah,
it's probably true.
It's 100% true, and like that's exactly what happened here. Like, as long as it's animated, you can get away with so many things, and you know, hence the Bulma, I don't know, objectification. Yeah. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, because I love My Hero Academia, and one of the guys, I forgot the kid's name, the grapes on his head, he's like really, he's a bit, you know, perverted and all that, but you know, never really goes too far. It's just him, you know, being obsessed with all the girls in his class. But this was just, I don't know, it was out of this world. It was I've not seen that in anime before. Andrew, something else I want to talk about. Look, one of my criticisms of Dragon Ball Z, even though I barely even watched it in the past, has always been I find the fights not that interesting, because I just think they just keep punching each other, and this guy punches that guy and he yells. I mean, Broly was insane. I think I was laughing at some point. It was good, but it was kind of funny because that's how my friends described it to me. And then I didn't actually think it'd be exactly like that. Like, after every punch, they yell, they punch again, they yell, get stronger. I know that's the core of the series, but I kind of wish it would evolve. I mean, this movie's in 2022. At some point, you got to make a little bit of a twist. That's why I love Hunter x Hunter so much, because in that show, I know you haven't watched it, Andrew, every fight is so strategic. It's just insane. Like, the characters are always thinking. Some are weaker than others, but they still think, like, are like brainstorming, like, how am I going to defeat this guy? What can I do? And it's not just like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to really think hard about the people I love and go punch as hard as I can. It's actually like a twist to almost every fight where you don't really see it coming. I'm not saying it has to be up to that standard, but I wish they would have done a little bit more than that. In this, I thought it was a little bit better than Broly, because he thought about, what was it, his daughter, Gohan did, and that gave him a lot of energy. I don't remember how he became blue. I mean, I just want to say, like, whenever these people go Super Saiyan, the first thing that happens is they get blonde hair, blue eyes. I don't know if Toriyama's trying to tell us something.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying, whenever they get stronger, that's what they do. Uh-huh. I don't know why, but then they get stronger again. They go back to being a brunette. I don't know. Doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm glad you guys enjoy it, because I think the fights are beautiful to watch, but I'm just not that invested into it, because I'm just like, I don't care what happens, because no one's, you know what I mean? It's just like, there's no, just no strategy, and I need that.
Is that like your biggest complaints with the movie, or like in the series
not
in general?
Not with the movie. It's actually not part of my, it's just one of those things about Dragon Ball that I've just never really gotten. I get it's the essence of the show, but I do appreciate that a lot of the times they show that the characters have to go train really hard to overcome these challenges. But in this one, Piccolo he just goes and wishes to become stronger. It's like, remember, kids, when the odds are against you, just cheat and ask the dragon for more power. And you can go defeat the bad guys.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's a couple little plot holes or little holes there that doesn't make it completely perfect. But, like, I don't know. Like, for me, this movie was good. It was just good, like to the highest degree of good. I can't necessarily think of like what I completely disliked about it. I mean, I have no,
there's not a lot to dislike.
There is not. Like I think a great way to say is like they played it safe, and the way they played it safe ended up working really well in their favor. So was it the most incredible piece of animation ever? Maybe not, but it was still like a decently good film.
Have you been to Disneyland, Andrew?
I've been a couple times in my life.
Or have you been on the Toy Story ride, the one where like you kind of go around, shoot targets?
Yes, yes.
Get the score. Yeah. The Gamma 1 and Gamma 2 flying around shooting those little guns reminded me of those guns you have on that ride.
Oh, that's just so like funny.
These little like cheap pieces of plastic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this serious? Like, these guys like go to like be like pew pew, like shooting at this just giant cell, and I'm just like, they couldn't give him like something better? It's like a squirt gun I find at the Dollar Tree.
Yeah, that was hilarious. And like one thing that was pretty cool though was like how like Piccolo said, why can't I see your sound effects? Like, really? Like, could they really? Like, that was actually pretty
interesting. I
like
that, yeah. But they never followed up with it.
Exactly.
They never followed up with it.
It threw me off of course for a second. I was like, what happened?
It was like a joke. It was like they treated it as like a joke, but it was cool because they were superheroes, basically, the way the Doctor had just created them.
Yeah.
I wish they went even a little bit further with this whole superhero thing. We got the two things. We got the main thing, which was the fact that they can tell, like, what's fighting for justice and good versus evil.
Yeah.
And then they also got the whole, like, oh, we can see the animated sounds. They should have really, I think, pushed that a little bit more.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree with you. One thing that makes me sad, I mean, hey, first of all, that's as much as I got with my disliking. Do you got any more you want to bring up?
That's it. I thought, like I said, really well made film and just a couple of nitpicks, but that's about it. Let's get into some fun talk.
Just some things in general that we could bring up about, like, one thing that I think they made a good call on was...
You sweat. You sound like you're sweating. You know how they can hear the sound effects when they were punching.
Yeah.
Gamma and Piccolo. I can hear your sweat through the microphone. I can feel the bead drops just sweating down your forehead.
So the only reason I say it is that there's two things I want to bring up. I'm trying to think of what to bring up first. One,
let's start with Broly.
Yeah. One, I think it was a good thing they got rid of the original voice actor of Broly because he was accused of many sexual harassment allegations in Japan. They did a good thing about that. You can't really tell the difference. Whoever they rehired, I don't know his name, but he only said like, what, three words? So, and it kind of sounded similar. So, you know, props to that voice actor. You know, he got the job of a lifetime. But they axed, was it Vic, what's the last name?
Vic Mignogna, who's really famous. He's the lead in Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood and a ton of other anime.
He was in Star Trek too.
Like the live action one?
Yeah, like the old one, like the TV show. With the old.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, he was on there.
Wow.
One thing I want to touch up on in general while we're on this topic of anime movies is I think Hayao Miyazaki makes the most incredible anime films. And I want to ask you real quick, Santi, have you seen all of them? Like, which one's your favorite?
I've seen most of them. Uh-huh. I have not seen all. I do have a favorite, and it is everyone's favorite, but I don't give a shit.
What?
I don't give a shit.
What?
Oh, Spirited Away.
Okay, so Spirited Away is your favorite. Okay, so this is my favorite, right?
Princess Mononoke.
It comes from a very deep place.
Did I get that right?
No. My favorite is My Neighbor Totoro. It is. It brings such a wholesome. So I remember this perfectly, right? So this is the story that my brother and my mom have told me. I do not know if it's completely accurate, but when my brother and I were young.
Did they use that movie to put you to sleep, Andrew?
No, so like when my brother and I were young and my mom would have to go work at night and then my dad, I think, was also working with her at the same time and then left me and my brother alone, my mom would always bring us like movies from Blockbuster, just random movies that we can watch and then go to bed to. And one day she just randomly picked up My Neighbor Totoro, not knowing that the whole thing was in Japanese. So my brother and I put that on the TV. And we just watched it. And I think we replayed it a couple of times. And I vividly remember watching My Neighbor Totoro in Japanese. I think since then, nothing has ever given me that same like wholesome feeling than that movie. So I think that will forever be my favorite Miyazaki movie.
That's a really wholesome story. Do you remember how old you were when you watched that?
I was a baby. I can't remember the my age. But probably like at that right age where like my memory starts kicking in. And I'm still like halfway in the ether and halfway alive. So part of me still remembers it.
No subtitles?
I don't remember subtitles, man. I remember the whole thing in Japanese.
Yeah. One thing I do like about the Ghibli films is I know when they were originally released, I'm sure they had just English voice actors when they wanted to release it kind of worldwide or anywhere else. But a lot of them, I think most, if not all, have Disney supplies English voice actors. And the dubs are really well done. I know there's a lot of, you know, anime purists out there who are always about watching a sub. Look, I get it. There's a lot of anime I also prefer in sub, but some of them are honestly just really good in their dubbed format and allows me to focus on the animation better. And I think either one, which people prefer, is great. But I don't like it when people are very elitist about saying like, oh, you got to watch this in sub. You got to watch it in sub. It's like, it's a cartoon, you know. If it's live action, I kind of get it. But it's a cartoon. If the message is getting across, I think it's just as fine.
Yeah, so a lot of people take it way too seriously. Of like, yeah, sub over dub. But I think it depends. Like, for me, I think I'm biased. I think Dragon Ball, for me, has to always be in dub. Always. Like, I can't get over Goku having a female voice in the sub versions. Like, I think the voice for the American works really well in my in my very obviously wrong opinion that others are going to think about. But I know with the Studio Ghibli films, interesting, because I know they have Christian Bale voicing the prince in Howl's Moving Castle. I know they have Liam Neeson voicing a character in a Ponyo.
Yeah, they spend a lot of money. There's like, they get big time actors. The ones that Disney did, they get like good actors for it. It's a very serious thing for them, and that's why I praise it so much.
Yeah, because
it's genuinely well done.
Oh, and yeah, incredibly well done. But I still, yeah.
Andrew, are you teasing that we may do some Studio Ghibli films in the future?
I mean, I would be 100% happy if we did, and I think we can do a great job talking about those movies because I think there's so many elements that go around it. What do you think?
Especially because it contrasts in a way with Pixar, because Pixar really brought this whole animation but also for adults thing to the mainstream, in my opinion. But Studio Ghibli was already doing its thing. People just didn't know about it as much. And one would argue that the Ghibli films do an even better job of that, where they're even less kiddish. And even the ones that really are focusing on the kids are, you know, really deep when you start to think about it. Like Princess Mononoke is all about the environment and, you know, a ton of other things. And that's one you have to watch like multiple times, in my opinion, to fully absorb it. So, Andrew, I would love to be on a journey as we go through each Studio Ghibli film in the future and talk about what it means to us. That would be a lot of fun.
I think that'd be a lot of fun as well. And it's funny how when you mentioned The Spirited Away was your favorite movie, a little fun fact about that movie, how it is to this day the only hand-drawn feature film to win Best Animated Feature at the Academy Awards.
Hell yeah.
So,
you know what it was about Spirited Away? I remember hearing about it so much, you know, as a kid, and everyone's just kind of like, oh, Spirited Away. It got a lot of hype when it came out. And I finally saw it, I want to say like 10 years ago. So not, you know, I didn't see it when it came out or when it was really popular, but I knew all the hype about it. And Andrew, to me, there's nothing better in life than a film that lives up to the hype. Because you have all this noise around it. Everyone's like, oh, it's so good. It's like, well, it can't be that good, right? But then I remember when I was watching, I just forgot what day it was. I forgot what time it was. I was just transported into a different world. And I don't say this for every movie, and I often don't. I didn't want it to end. I just wanted to just stay with that character, that world, that music. Just a beautiful film, in my opinion. And I don't think it's overrated at all. I know, you know, it is the chalk pick for Ghibli films, but I love it.
I definitely feel...
Anyway,
I definitely feel like one day we got to do like a whole Studio Ghibli Fest episode. And like you said, we'll go through them all, talk about what they mean to us. So, hey, maybe it's in the future. What do you... Yeah? Are you okay with that?
Well, first, we should go through every episode of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super.
And Dragon Ball GT. And
we're going to have an individual podcast dedicated to each episode of Dragon Ball. That's coming out next. We'll probably be wrapped up with that in sometime in, 2432.
And then after that, we do each episode of One Piece. And we don't stop until we finish One Piece.
I am currently reading One Piece. I am on chapter 245.
Wow, that is dedication right there. The only reason I don't read them is because I don't want to be spoiled. I know like One Punch Man season 3 is already announced, but everyone already knows what's going to happen in it because they read the manga.
Yeah.
And so I avoid doing any of that. Same with Demon Slayer. I don't want to read because I don't want to be spoiled. I'd rather wait until I'm like 50 and I see season 4.
I kind of get that. Like, I got totally spoiled with Attack on Titan because I just couldn't help myself. There was so much of a gap between each season. But with One Piece, there's like 1,000 episodes, but then it takes you only like 3-4 minutes to read a chapter if you're a quick reader. So sometimes with manga, you are getting like the full story, and I think the drawings are good enough to kind of give you an idea about what's going on. Wherein, you know, it's just hard to find the time to really sit down and watch what 1,000 episodes, 22 minutes each. Like, that's quite a commitment. But for the ones like Demon Slayer, which are already wrapped up, I totally get it. It's just better to see it in animated format.
Definitely true. But okay, with all that, I want to get into our final scores for Dragon Ball Super Superhero. So Santi, out of 5 tickets, what do you give this movie?
Dragon Ball Super Superhero is the second piece of Dragon Ball films and TV shows that I've ever seen, and I think it's quite good. It's well directed. It feels like a feature film. The action and the music keep you engaged, and there's a lot of comedy, and overall it has a lot more heart than I expected, and I really enjoyed it, and I recommend it to folks who aren't familiar with the Dragon Ball universe as well. Andrew, I give it 3 out of 5 tickets. What's your score?
That's great. I love how you do give a little recommendation at the end there. I feel like it's true. Anyone who is not completely familiar with it but still wants to dive into this world, perfect film for that. I think this movie had a perfect balance of character arcs. I feel like I had the dialogue was there. I don't think I was bored at any time. Shout out to those knockoff Oreos that were always popping up in the movie. But I think overall this movie did a very, very good job putting up a good motive compared to other films and giving us a reason to act upon, you know, against an evil corporation or something. I think it was really well done, really well directed. I give it a solid 3 out of 5.
Great score.
Great score. Great score. Well deserving as well.
What's your score for Broly, by the way? Just curious for the audience.
God, that's so hard because now that I'm comparing, before I saw Superhero, I'd probably give Broly a 4 out of 5 because of how incredibly immersed I was during the scenes. The half of the movie is all fighting. Like the first half, you know, Goku and Vegeta are fighting the Dragon Ball or looking for the final Dragon Ball, and they meet up Frieza, they bring out Broly, you know, Vegeta and Goku go, you know, Super Saiyan God with that's with the red hair, and then they go against Broly, they're no match, they go Super Saiyan Blue, which is, you know, one step over God, and they're no match, and then Broly gets Super Saiyan, and I was so immersed the whole movie. And then, yeah, Gogeta. Oh, boy. 4 out of 5. What was your thing?
Well, we won't talk about what I gave.
No, are you going to say like a 2?
Okay, well, no, the issue was I don't think I gave it a fair shot. I was watching. I had my little cousin over. He was kind of, you know, he was jumping on the screen and all that. So I did have to pause and start a lot of times. But I just think the first half of the film was really good. But when the fight started, I just kind of lost interest. Didn't keep me engaged enough. 2.5 out of 5.
Oh, that's bad.
But if I had to rewatch one between these two, I think I'd go for Broly. Because I now that I kind of get the world a little bit more, I think that fight will be a lot more hype for me. So I'll kind of get it. I'll go back and rewatch the fight on YouTube.
Okay, so on our next podcast, we're going to have to take a 5-minute segment to hear exactly what you thought about rewatching Broly.
All right. We'll do that.
All right. Well, now you all know what we had to say about Dragon Ball Super. You heard what we had to say about Studio Ghibli films and our opinions on dub over sub. So thank you very much, everybody, for listening to another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast. But before we go, I want to give a quick shout out to our friends at Here's Our Take Podcast. If you check out their Instagram at Here's Our Take Podcast, you can join them to learn about their movie news, their recommendations, and they also have some fun trivia facts and some funny birthday shout outs to actors on their special day. So thank you very much, guys, at Here's Our Take Podcast for being a close friend of ours. And we recommend all of our listeners to go check them out and definitely give a listen to their Spotify as well. I'll leave a link to their page on the description of our episode as well. So thank you very much, everybody. And we will see you on the next one.
We'll see you then.